Hello, humans. Welcome to the Chill the Fuck Out podcast. I'm your host, Ashley O'Brien. Welcome to a space meant to be for you to pause your day, week, month, or even year, to take a breath and a moment for yourself with yourself. A place to discuss, learn, grow through, and maybe even laugh about mental illness, trauma, abuse, mental health, emotional difficulties, healing, and what we can do to overcome it all, to live and be present in lives we love. Hello, humans. I hope you're having a fucking awesome day. But if you're not, that's okay too. I'm glad you're here and I'm glad to be back. I did have to take some time to reset. After my panic attack recurrence, I went through many iterations of feeling overwhelmed by typical daily things and by larger stressors that showed up in my life after that. I'm so glad that I took a break. I needed it. I was putting too much pressure on myself and underestimated the amount of work it would take to keep up with a 2-episode-a-week podcast commitment. I think I put so much into that first bunch of episodes and had a whirlwind of emotions and experiences during that whole process. I needed a way to mentally and emotionally rest and recuperate, and I hadn't given myself the time and space for that. On top of that, I started hearing stories from listeners and those who found out about the pause. You beautiful humans are opening up and telling me your stories. I'm so happy that you feel comfortable with telling me about your experiences. And I'm even more excited that you are finding CTFO so helpful. It makes me need to keep going. But I was surprised at how heavy it felt to receive so many at once. I've thought about and worked on this aspect a lot over the last 6 weeks, and I've learned two things. First, I cannot internalize your stories. This is something I want to talk about in depth, but it's easy for many survivors to have a hard time knowing where I end and someone else begins. And it can be easy to internalize or strongly identify with other survivors' experiences. So I'm building skills to be a compassionate and constructive listener without taking on others' burdens as my own. Second, I have to remember that most of the time survivors just want and need to be heard and validated. I don't need to and truly can't fix these things for others. So going forward, I'll focus on letting you know I hear you and giving you support where I can. So please do not stop telling me your stories. I want this to be a place where you can come and feel supported. We just have to move forward with the mutual understanding that being supportive does not mean taking on the responsibility of something or someone. I am feeling refreshed and ready to recommit with my new hard-earned perspective. I'm recommitting, but this time I'm committing to 1 episode per week that I will work to publish on Wednesdays. If I need a break, I am going to take it. And part of being successful with both will be working toward creating a couple episodes a week for a few weeks so I can get ahead and content won't stop even if I need to for a bit. Self-care, mindfulness, healing, and humanness looks different on and for everyone. Part of loving and accepting myself includes what we are talking about today. Now is a great time to take a short break to let you know that a new sponsor of the CTFO podcast is Audible. I love Audible. I have a hard time learning by reading because I'm kind of a slow reader and I'll easily forget what I've read or just read without comprehension. With Audible, I have a much easier time listening to nonfiction books and actually learning and retaining the information. Audible also helps me do chores and get my workouts in. Audible, perfect for helping slow readers learn and boring tasks go faster. If you'd like to try Audible for free, click the link in this episode description. Survivors of childhood trauma, neglect, and abuse, especially if it results in long-term mental illness, tend to become overwhelmed more easily than others, even during recovery from mental illness. So what is overwhelm? From the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, upset or overthrow, to cover over completely or to submerge, to overcome by superior force or numbers, to overpower. I would describe overwhelm as succumbing to the force and endurance of something or a combination of some things that are or feel like they are moving against me. Good Therapy describes emotional overwhelm as a state of being beset by intense emotion that is difficult to manage. It can affect your ability to think and act rationally. It could also prevent you from performing daily tasks. So what causes overwhelm? Big stressors, like trauma, or losing a loved one, or a combination or endurance of many smaller stressors. Many unaddressed experiences or emotions. For example, anger management might feel more approachable than facing your fear and sadness, which leaves your root experiences unresolved or unprocessed. Having many demands on you consistently over a long period of time, like multiple jobs, family, children, significant others, financial struggles or worries, social worries, health problems, mental health conditions, and so on. Life transitions or big life changes, especially if they're sudden or quick. Long-term lack of sleep, and then perfectionism or inappropriate expectations. All of these things can add up to or create overwhelm. Symptoms of overwhelm can vary from person to person. I think it's pretty different from one person to the next. But generally, a disproportionate reaction to something, such as panicking when you're not in danger or explosive anger to small mistakes. Being physically ill or fatigued without an obvious reason can be a sign of being overwhelmed. Trouble focusing or completing simple tasks. Withdrawing from friends and family. Having the experience of your emotions coloring your experiences instead of being present in them. Feeling stunned or frozen or unable to act. Finding it difficult to make decisions. Overwhelm can be a sign and symptom of anxiety. And long-standing struggles with overwhelm can lead to and be connected to panic disorders. So why do survivors get overwhelmed more easily? First, in the last episode, we discussed numbing or apathy. Overwhelm is the opposite of that. That's probably kind of obvious. But survivors often don't have the coping skills or groundedness or trust in themselves to have a middle ground for their emotional stability. One thing that can and does often happen is they bounce back and forth between numbing and overwhelm, feeling too little and then feeling too much. Second, our nervous systems are constantly overworked or overloaded. We often learn to survive through hypervigilance, perfectionism, anticipation, bracing for impact, and so on. So as we move through life, if we haven't yet learned to turn down these responses, feel safe in our lives, and create healthy stress resilience, we are constantly on guard. This is really fucking taxing. And more of a stress than we realize because we're so used to it. Because we're already using so much of our physical capacity to carry and manage stress, if something else from our daily life is added to it, sometimes our capacity for stress is overcome, and we overreact or isolate in reaction to the stressor that in reality is kind of small. If we are constantly mentally, emotionally, and physically taxed to a high level because of our learned mental and emotional state, we don't have much room for typical life stressors. For me, when I had my panic attack about 6 weeks ago, I think I had built some resilience and was feeling much stronger. Then I stacked stressors up all in a row, not realizing it, and wasn't at sort of full strength when faced with a person who was mentally and emotionally attacking me. Part of what I've done since then is fortify my support system through some difficult and vulnerable conversations, to help them understand my needs. And now I have much more trust that they will help me to protect myself from those types of people in those types of situations. I don't want to go back to feeling like I have to be on guard all the time. So I stepped back, worked on recovering, and have been working on strategies to keep that from happening again without me having to go back into hypervigilance. The second and long-standing sponsor of this podcast is Childress Accounting and Consulting. James Childress and his team work with small business owners to leverage their accounting data and processes to answer the big and small questions while advising them and holding them accountable to their financial and profitability goals. Childress Accounting and Consulting, helping small businesses create professional financial freedom through accounting-based advising. Schedule time with James today by going to their website, childresscpa.com, or clicking on the link in the show notes. So why does it matter? Discussing this aspect of surviving childhood trauma matters because it's real and scary and often builds and reinforces into us shame. Shame causes us to hide and suppress and deny who we really are and what we really need. Overwhelm can be a cry for help, a major sign that it's time to ask for help or at least start researching and learning how to help yourself. Overwhelm is your inner child coming to the surface and forcing you to surrender. Overwhelm is your body telling you it needs more care and less force. Overwhelm is your brain, nervous system, and hormones telling you to let something go. Overwhelm in a survivor is often the breaking point that forces us to release something. If we don't listen to it, we often experience mental and physical illness and disease that can be quite debilitating. It matters because you matter. Your experiences matter. It matters because if we don't address overwhelm when we experience it and work toward overcoming it, then the trauma that lives inside of us gets to continue controlling us. But we don't have to live this way. So what can we do to overcome this tendency? First and foremost, always at the top of the list, ask for help. Seek out therapy or counseling or somebody just to talk to. It can be so immensely helpful. Tell your story somehow. Get it out of you. Write it down by journaling or join a support group online or in person where you can tell your story to people who can understand or confide in someone you trust. Telling our stories and having a way to feel heard and validated sometimes is all we need to heal, at least enough to move forward with less worry and greater strength. Practice prioritizing at work and home. Prioritization can be huge. Prioritizing your top 1 to 3 things that you need to put your attention on in these two areas of your life each day, and then accomplishing those things can be confidence building, help you focus, and decrease a feeling of failure. This can also combat perfectionism. Set appropriate boundaries. Practice saying no to things that you can't do or don't want to do and aren't your responsibility. Ask for space and time when you need it. Give yourself personal time, if you can, even if it's just 5, 10, 15 minutes a few times per day. Take a break. I've learned that when I feel overwhelmed by something, I will often start getting angry and self-sabotage the project or effort. I've learned to recognize the beginning of this feeling and simply stop and put it away until I feel ready to reapproach it. Learn and incorporate grounding and soothing practices into your life. This can be controlled breathing, meditation, movement and exercise, getting out in nature. You can sit in a sauna or an ice bath. Temperature training can train your nervous system for stress and give it a sort of reset. Definitely do your own research on this and maybe work with a practitioner to make sure that you do this in a healthy way. Practice mindfulness to be present. Notice your environment. What do you see and hear and smell and feel? Learn to identify your emotions and sensations and how they're triggered. Practice acceptance and allowing, which is the opposite of perfectionism. This does not mean not to work toward quality outcomes, but it means to accept that life is messy, learning takes time, failure is a part of life and progress, and nothing will ever truly be perfect. Move toward and create a life, a lifestyle, a support system, and an environment that support your needs, wants, healing, and dreams. For those who hear all of this and feel overwhelmed at the idea of even approaching any of this type of work, my greatest recommendation is either finding a professional who can help you sort it all out and be sort of a guide for you, or find and use some kind of program or workbook that can get you started in the direction you want to go. It's not going to be quick or easy. Just take the first step and then keep just taking one more step each day or as you're ready. And then remember to look back periodically to remember how far you've come. This gives us perspective for the days when we do feel overwhelmed. You are strong enough. Look at everything you've already lived through and overcome. You are worthy and you are capable. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you soon. If you'd like to write in to ask questions, request topic coverage, share an experience, or let me know how I can improve your experience with the pause, you can email me at ctfolistener@gmail.com. If you want to see the pause in your feed, like and subscribe on Instagram and Facebook by searching at ctfopausecast. Disclaimer. I am not a mental health professional or even a life coach. This podcast is not a substitute for professional mental health help. I am simply a healing survivor working to support a community I am a part of. I always encourage you to reach out, do your research, and find the professional help you need to overcome your internal obstacles and move forward. To that end, I will always post in show notes any resources I find and use and any that listeners send in as a way to make it easier for you to find the help that you need. With so much love and support, I hope you're feeling awesome. But if you aren't, I hope you can find a way to chill the fuck out.